This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I hardly remember them. Wild Thing. Gotta credit Big Ed. He always comes up with these songs. Good for you, Ed. A real blast out of the past. Well, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We are Wild Things from time to time here. I am Paul Molloy along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us. It is Friday, May the 3rd. And as usual, we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Patricia Patnode of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here. We are going to talk with her about a vote this week by the House to restore oil leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, ANWR. That's something the Biden administration has tried to kibosh. They've been trying to cut back on our oil drilling for, well, ever since Biden got in, frankly. So we'll be talking with her in just a few minutes. And who will be Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate? Well, he's going to meet with a group of contenders later today at his Mar-a-Lago residence. We're going to discuss the possibilities. And a whirlwind of new regulations by the Biden administration, and it may be signaling its pessimism about the upcoming election for Biden. We are going to explain what we mean a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you the top 10 countries with the most hurricanes last show. This time, the top 10 states with the most tornadoes the past 5 years. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I'm telling you, make a beeline to Dunedin, to the Overcast Plaza, to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the plaza. That's on Overcast Drive, just north of State Road 580. Great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. You have anything you need done with a tree, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever, Arbor Life, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right, so a little bit of governmental homework here at the beginning of the show. U.S. job growth slowed sharply last month, April, while the unemployment rate went up. It's a sign that high interest rates and stubborn inflation are starting to weigh in on the labor market. Last month, employers added about 175,000 jobs. That is missing the forecast. They were figuring on about 243,000. So it marks the worst month for job creation since October. Meantime, the unemployment rate also went up. It's now at 3.9%. Wage growth more subdued last month. The average hourly earnings, that's a key measure of inflation, the average hourly earnings rising about 0.2%. That was less than expected. The what they call surprisingly weak report paints a picture of a job market that is starting to sputter as the result of the Fed's aggressive interest rate hike. In the meantime, mortgage rates, you know, for your house, they're up again. It's now at 7.22%. So that is slowing things down even more when it comes to buying a house. The average rate on the benchmark 30-year fixed mortgage, fixed 30-year mortgage is 7.22. If you want to do 15-year, let's see, what is that? 6.4. A little bit better. So there you go. Meantime, I guess the stock market's rebounded quite well. It's in the several hundreds. So I don't know. Biden is always telling us how great a job he's doing with Bidenomics. Is it still Bidenomics? They've dropped that term, haven't they? I think they've dropped that term. In the meantime, Donald Trump is over in court again this morning. He's railing against the judge. He declared that he is winning the trial as he walked into the courtroom this morning. This is day 11. In another impromptu press conference, he reiterated his complaint about Judge Juan Merchan, insisting that if the guy was a fair judge, the case would have never proceeded to trial. He says they're doing this because it's politics. They want to get Biden elected. That's the only reason, he says. He says the judge is highly conflicted. He should not be allowed to be the judge in this case. Well, that's not going to help him when it comes to all these fines that this judge is leveling on him. In the meantime, a little later on, guess where Donald Trump will be going to? He's going to go to Mar-a-Lago. As he headlines a gathering of top Republican donors and teams up with potential running mates. So,
did you happen to notice what he did yesterday?
What did he do yesterday?
Well, he made use, like you said, made use of his time in New York between sessions there in court. He delivered pizzas to the firefighters.
You're right.
Now, while Joe Biden was there, he had struggled opening a pizza box. Donald Trump delivered them.
Yes, I now that I think about it, you're right. Yeah, Trump continues to ingratiate himself with both the fire and the police departments. They like him. You know, he seems to be, even though he's this billionaire, he seems to be like one of them. He puts on his little red hat and he wanders into the firehouse.
They may go from hating him to throwing him a parade.
Yeah, they might. You may be right about that. So he's going to be down there at Mar-a-Lago. Among those listed as his special guests, Tim Scott of South Carolina. He's a possible vice presidential running mate. How about J.D. Vance of Ohio? He's going to be there. Even Marco Rubio. I wonder what chance Marco might have being vice president. So are Governors Doug Burgum of North Dakota. Kristi Noem, the dog killer. Remember her? She'll be there from South Dakota. Also, two top House supporters, Elise Stefanik of New York and Byron Donalds of Florida, will also be there. So it's going to be one big happy family.
I think you should treat it like, remember the old dating game where the contestants were behind a wall?
Yeah.
And then he has like three or four of them.
Yeah.
You know, what would you do if you were vice president? You know?
Yeah, without knowing who's answering you.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, he would know.
I think so. Especially the high-pitched voices of the women. But yeah, that might be a cool way of doing it. What if he just puts all their names in one of those tumblers and pulls out a slip of paper with the name of the winner?
Yeah, I think it'd be more exciting to see them answer cards. Kristi Noem, I'm not sure about. I saw her trying to do damage control.
Yeah, I know. I feel a little bad for her.
But I understand that
she should have realized that she had put that in her memoir.
Yeah, that's the thing. The people that do that stuff out there in the West or whatever. And it's family stuff, and it's they've done it all their lives. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Don't write about it.
That's right.
There's certain things you don't want people to
know. Exactly. Yeah, it does her no good. I think she was trying to show how tough she was. It didn't come off that way.
No.
It came off as how mean she was, unfortunately. Anyway, We are going to take our break. And when we come back, Patricia Patnode of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. And we're going to talk with her about a vote this week by the House to restore oil leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Friday. Thank you so very much for joining us, and we're delighted to have Patricia Patnode join us. She is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and she focuses on things like the energy and the environment, and we're going to talk to her about this vote by the House on a bill called the Alaska's Right to Produce Act of 2023. Patricia, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on.
It's absolutely our pleasure. So, this is a bill that attempts to reverse the Biden administration's attempts to stifle oil drilling, apparently, both in Anwar and in Alaska. First question, have they voted on this bill as of yet?
They did, and it passed the House, so now it's with the Senate.
Oh, okay. And it was expected to do that. Now, the problem is going to be, I take it, with the Senate, which is still controlled by Democrats. Any chance that it would pass in the Senate?
So this bill is very popular with Democrats in Alaska, and it would be a boon to the economy and signal that we will have more access to oil and that there's like a jobs guarantee. So I think especially ahead of the election, there's a good chance that they would let this go through, and then Joe Biden would have the excuse to say, well, you know, this is good for the economy and I'm growing jobs and we want to provide for Alaska. And also, I mean, it's a bipartisan bill. Like the Democrat representative from Alaska is very on board, and so are a lot of the tribes.
Okay.
In Alaska. So it has a good chance, I think.
Oh, good. I'm surprised to hear that, but I'm delighted to hear it. Let's talk a little bit about this whole thing. The Biden administration canceled oil leases in Anwar, right? And the Interior Department recently finalized a rule to limit the leasing of oil and gas in about 13 million acres of Alaska's National Petroleum Reserve. For the life of me, I cannot understand why we do this, because we end up having to import oil from countries like Venezuela, and it's, I mean, as far as climate goes, we do a better job, do we not, of refining the oil and than we're going to get from Venezuela?
Mm-hmm. We have the cleanest oil and gas production in the world. we do it better than everyone else. We mitigate spills. We have a very strict, I mean, for all of the regulatory red tape that I think is overkill and not very good, you can't say that we don't do a clean, good job here.
Yeah, exactly right. And yet the Biden administration is intent on making it look like we're trying to cut back on the on our oil production. I mean, they seem to talk out of both sides of their mouth. On the one hand, they say they're all for, you know, green energy and electricity and this, that, and the other thing. And then they say, but yet, you know, we're actually producing more barrels of oil now than Trump did. So I'm wondering, I start scratching my head and I'm thinking, what is their intent?
Well, so the Biden administration doesn't have, he doesn't seem to know or understand anything about economics or what is good. He's trying to be popular with everyone all the time, everywhere. And that means that you just say yes and agree to whatever seems palatable. He seems to be proud that we're producing more oil, we're producing more energy than we have before. But that is only because a lot of the efforts that they've taken to rescind this production have not gone into effect yet and won't hit our economy for a little bit, because it does take time to drill and it takes time to shut down other wells. So the good things that Trump did are still being realized today. So Joe Biden gets to take credit for that. And then he also gets to take credit for these really heinous actions to kill this genre of industry and to kill these jobs. So it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, indeed. We're talking with Patricia Patnode. She is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where she focuses on energy and the environment. We're talking about the House bill that has passed, which would reverse the Biden administration's cancellation of oil leases in Anwar. Patricia, one of the other things that our dear president did was to start taking reserve oil out of the strategic petroleum reserves in an attempt to lower gas prices at the pump earlier in his administration. It did very little good, and now we're stuck having to resupply the oil reserves. And, of course, the price of resupplying the oil reserves is higher now, so it makes it even more expensive, right?
Mm-hmm. And the United States is not actively at war. Like, there is no reason to drain our strategic petroleum reserves as much as we have, unless we're in a time of, like, true crisis or true economic crisis. Yes, gas prices were high. Gas prices haven't gone down all that much. And also, it is very simple to say, you know, we have an abundance of resources of oil and gas in this country. We can just produce more, and we can allow people to do the things that we know how to do. We know how to drill for oil. We know how to produce gasoline. We can do all of it in 5 years. If we really wanted to, we could have $2 gas again. We could have $1.50 gas. Like, that's within the realm of possibility because of the resources that we have.
That would
it's
be
an
great.
Active policy choice. Yeah, it's a choice to keep prices so high. And, I think it's to bully and manipulate people to buy electric cars ahead of when they should. But then we also don't have the energy to produce the energy that you need for this, for electric cars and all of these things that are moving away from, like, gas and oil. So it's another example of talking out of both sides of your mouth. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. Do you mind taking a question from my colleague, Ed Davis? Go ahead.
I'm happy to.
Yeah.
Hey, Patricia, I was just wondering, these leases on these Anwar leases, are they on fertile grounds? Because in the past, Biden has said, well, I released some leases out there, but he gave us leases that produced absolutely nothing. It's like me inheriting a gold mine with no gold in it. Sure, I can tell my friends, oh, gold mine, but there's nothing in it. Are these fertile leases?
So the leases that were issued, so you get like a very large area, and the leases that they've issued were on already tested and explored plots of land. So they were not on unknown plots of land, which is what they were doing and are doing right now in the state of Wyoming and in other states. They are using a manipulative leasing process to depress production. That is something they're doing. And Alaska, because they've been studying this since Jimmy Carter was president, and they have a good understanding, all of the leases that were canceled were leases that would have been productive. And I actually have a quote from the Secretary of the Department of Interior, which is the agency that manages all of this stuff, said that, there were 13,000 hours of analysis between the U.S. EPA, Department of Interior, and the state of Alaska, but that wasn't enough, and that they needed more. And they've known about everything in this region since the 50s and 60s. So it's pretty heinous.
It sounds like but you mentioned that it sounds like Biden is going to possibly go ahead, sign this this bill that should pass in the Senate. By the way, what is the timetable, Patricia? Do you think that this will pass the Senate this coming week, or what do you think?
I think it's very unclear. Theoretically, something like this that has to do with the economy and is of national interest should be a little protected from the politics of the election. But I think it will probably be like a calculation of, okay, does Biden need to please the environmentalists more, or does he need the support of the delegation in Alaska for their electoral votes? I think that his people will be making those political calculations to see if this could move forward. And I'm sure that Democrats in the Senate are also thinking about that. Fortunately, every politician from Alaska is very united.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, so I think that's a good sign. The Biden administration did let the Willow oil project go through, and they defended that. That was kind of an excuse. They let that go through, and then they canceled all of these other leases, like leaving all of the giving all the businesses like the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
But they did let another oil project go through, and I think it's because they know, everyone knows that we need some oil and gas production to keep this country like operational and to sustain just normal economy.
So maybe
because they did the posturing of canceling all the leases, now they can say, well, Congress is forcing our hand to issue them. It is law that they issue leases. So maybe they could say, well, you know, we tried, but we can't. This is the will of Congress. So I'm hoping that that's the case.
Yeah. So it sounds like they would make the, that this would get done within the next couple of months. I mean, if your projections are correct, it passes the Senate because of the pressure of the Democrats in Alaska and some of these other oil drilling areas. And so, therefore, it will be on the books maybe, you know, in the next couple of months, do you think? Or
yes, I think it could be. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if Biden loses the election, then I think that his administration will just, run roughshod and start producing rules at the agency to restrict everything in a very severe way in order to give the Trump administration a lot of legal headaches to deal with all of these rules. So I think that would be their strategy after the election. Unfortunately, in D.C., that's what everyone's kind of focused on. Because Trump did that in a very good way. He was able to pass a lot of he's able to put out a lot of good final rules that he didn't do earlier in the administration because they were a little contentious. So Biden, I'm sure, would do the same thing.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. In fact, the Biden White House has signaled pessimism about the election, and they have actually come out with a bunch of things that show that they want to make it tough if Trump gets into office to undo it. You know, undo some of these things, including new power plant emission rules and new decisions restricting the drilling, as you talked about, mm-hmm. In the National yeah. Petroleum Reserve. So they might be planning on making it really tough, for Trump. It's a pleasure to have talked with you. I really hope that you're right about this passing in the Senate, and then our dear friend Biden signing it. That would be great news, Patricia. Thank you so very much for coming on. Look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Have a good day.
All right, the same to you. All right, Patricia Patnode.
I think they're going to do everything but hide the keys to the front door to the White House.
They may even do that. Look under the mat. It might be there. Under the mat. Okay. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, a whirlwind of new regulations by the Biden administration that we were just talking about may be signaling its pessimism about Biden winning. We're going to explain what we mean a bit later.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. So Biden finally got in front of a microphone to talk about the college campus protests yesterday. And he was kind of mealy-mouthed about it, to be honest with you.
Well, he read the prompter.
He didn't make any major gaffes. I have to give him credit there. Biden broke his silence, condemned violent protests that are shaking college campuses across the country. He said this: there should be no place on any campus, no place in America, for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. Then he says there's no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. He said it's simply wrong, no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. Here's the deal. I haven't seen any Islamophobia.
Oh, no.
I've seen anti-Semitism.
Well, he's trying to cover all the bases.
I don't see any Jewish people standing up and fighting and screaming about Islamophobia.
You know, it only took him a week to do this. And let me tell you, that in that week where he said absolutely nothing, did more damage to our relationship with Jews and Israel than years before that.
Yeah.
Combined.
God. He's managing.
Because you know Netanyahu was sitting there, the premier of
Prime Minister of Israel.
Yep. Was sitting there waiting for a response and waiting for a backing of Jews in Israel. Exactly. And he got nothing.
Yeah. So here's as an example, Alan Dershowitz, he's Jewish and he's a liberal. He says, why can't Biden simply denounce anti-Semitism without pandering to Muslims and Arabs? He says, why don't you just condemn Jew hatred?
Well,
you know.
Well, now that they
listen to Trump. Trump isn't trying to be mealy-mouthed about it.
I mean, now that they've arrested and broken up most of these, that we found that they're finding out that less than half are actually students. So this is hired help. And let me tell you something about these cupcakes that were arrested yesterday. It was great that Fox News set up right where the cops were demasking them, which they were more upset about having their masks taken off than being handcuffed, for crying out loud. And they marched them right in front of the cameras so mommy and daddy could see what little Johnny and sweetheart Sally have been doing for $90,000 a year.
There was something kind of funny. The two guys at UCLA's campus rushed the police. Did you watch? They had their little shields.
With the garbage can cutouts.
They had garbage can cutouts. They had their little shields to go running towards the police. This one guy, it was like running against a brick wall. And he hits the policeman, and the policeman knocks him back. And the guy goes ass over tea kettle, and it was funny.
Two other funny moments before we bring on Angelo and Andrew. They wanted food and supplies. So the one thing, they had ordered a pizza, and they lowered down this basket that was rectangular. The girl couldn't figure out how to put the square box in the rectangular basket.
Yeah, these are the intelligentsia, the upcoming intelligentsia.
The other ones made a list of what the demands that they needed. They needed food and water, and they preferred to have vegan food.
Oh, of course.
Gluten-free, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flashlights with bright strobes on them so they could shine it in the police's face.
Yes.
Helmets for the girls and maxi pads for the boys.
There you go. That's So do we have both of them or just Andrew?
We do.
We got Angelo and Andrew. Well, welcome, gentlemen. So I don't know what you want to talk about. We got Donald Trump. After he finishes his trial in New York today, he's off to Mar-a-Lago to interview potential vice presidential candidates. Got a whole bunch of them down there that are going to show up. So he's got a busy evening and busy late afternoon coming up. So what do you think, Angelo? Are things going about the same, or what do you think?
Well, I would say it would be between Tulsi Gabbard and Tim Scott.
Oh, you think Tulsi's in the mix?
I would think so.
Okay.
She's a military person.
Yeah.
Military.
I don't think she's going to be there, although maybe she will. Maybe she will.
I don't know. I would like to see her. I mean, I don't know who else he could pick. I mean, he could pick Jim Jordan.
Well, let me tell you the ones that we see that are going to be there. He's going to have Marco Rubio is going to be there. Doug Burgum. He's the governor of North Dakota. Kristi Noem is the governor of South Dakota. She'll be there. J.D. Vance, senator from Ohio, will be there. Elise Stefanik from your state, the congressman, will be there, the Republican. Byron Donalds of Florida, he's another congressman, Republican. He'll also be there. Vivek Ramaswamy, remember him? He'll be there, too.
How about Ron DeSantis?
I don't see his name listed here. No. No, and Andrew, you still think that Ron DeSantis might be a possibility, right?
I'm calling him and J.D. Vance, Paul.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I think J.D. Vance has a shot now. I wasn't giving him much of a shot, but you know what? He's a powerful speaker, and maybe he would be a strong representative while Trump is battling in court.
That's what I'm thinking.
Go ahead. Yeah. Both of them, Tim Scott and J.D. Vance.
So he's got to do something quick because he needs somebody out there campaigning.
Yeah, I think he does too.
I'll tell you, whoever's not picked to be vice president, I think a lot of those second stringers there might be picked somewhere in his cabinet. When he's in.
Mm-hmm. I think Kristi Noem's star is starting to fade a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I thought she would be a possibility, but now with the dog thing, the dog killing incident, yeah. I think that's almost going to kibosh her.
They'd have a field day with that.
I think they would. Listen to this. If Biden isn't dumb enough to alienate as many different groups as possible, now he's alienating Japan and India. He called Japan xenophobic. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
He called Japan xenophobic in a speech on Wednesday alongside a slew of other nations he claims are suffering from lack of immigration. Oh, yeah. Tell everybody else how they should handle immigration, Joe. You're doing such a hell of a great job. He says this. This election is about freedom, America, and democracy. One of the reasons why our economy is growing is because we welcome immigrants. He says, why is China stalling so badly economically? Why is Japan having trouble? Why is Russia? Why is India? Because they're xenophobic. Oh, okay. Thanks, Joe. We'll just follow your lead.
Well, he's taking in all the terrorists. right?
Yeah.
In our country.
I mean, does he not, does he have no, he has a complete tin ear. He has a complete tin ear when it comes to things like that. He has managed, who is he? He has disingratiated himself with Israel, with the far left, obviously with anybody that believes in border control. The Jewish people, if I were Jewish, I wouldn't be voting for him.
I got to tell you, I would hate to be the person that's monitoring him in their earpiece. You know, and then probably giving him, telling him what to say here and there. And when he goes off cuff and he does his little gaffes and stuff, they've got to be driving that person crazy.
Even when he's on, I mean, he must be reading that stuff from the teleprompter. You know? It just seems to be like, I don't know, the puppeteers are screwed up too, along with the puppet. It just is crazy.
He must have Obama going crazy when he's watching him.
Yeah,
huh?
That's
Obama's
another thing.
Telling him what to do, and Joe keeps screwing it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy. Here's something you guys might be interested in. A couple of days ago, a new CNN survey indicated Trump topping Biden by 6 points.
Yes, I saw that.
In a head-to-head matchup. Now, that's a CNN. And by 9 points, if you include the other rogues gallery, including Robert Kennedy Jr., Jill Stein, remember her? She's a Green Party candidate.
Yep.
And then the great progressive Cornel West. So you add all of those in, and then he's up by, Trump's up by 9 points. Excuse me. Of course, these, you know, it depends on what poll you're looking at.
It doesn't matter how many points he's up. Every poll has him up.
Yeah.
It's just by how many points. Look at in Michigan, they say he's up 15 points.
And watch, the more he keeps gaining on the points and staying ahead of Biden, this Judge Marchand, he's going to come after Trump with more violations of the gag order. As the race is going, he's going to get worse and worse, this judge.
It also seems like in that hush money trial, things are going Trump's way. The people that they're bringing up, Cohen and some of these others that they're bringing up for the prosecution, these guys are coming off like idiots. It sounds like Cohen was really upset that he didn't get a position in the Trump administration, and he was really upset that he didn't get it. It was almost suicidal, if you believe some of the things you read about it.
He wanted a job in the administration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why all these stories came out about Stormy Daniels. Mm-hmm. Thinks it's a payback.
Do you think Stormy is going to take the stand?
No.
I don't think she needs to.
Yeah, okay.
She wasn't part of the, I don't think she was part of the money, the transfer part.
No? I thought she's the one that was getting the money.
The only thing she can testify is whatever she did with the money.
Yeah, they got a signed letter from her, so why does she even have to testify?
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
What did she try to extort the president?
Well, she got $130,000 or something like that, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she got something. I mean, she must have said something about, you know, extorting money from the when Trump was the candidate,
I didn't know that she only got 130. What did that Paula? What did that Paula lady get from Clinton? Like 800,000?
Yeah, yep. He got a lot. She got a lot more.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you got to remember what he did to Paula Jones too. That was that was pretty rude.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, any other thoughts?
Right now, I got my head buried underneath the car. So.
Oh, you're really you're working on that restoring that vintage car of yours?
I'm ready to burn it.
Oh, no.
Hey, bro, you want to buy mine?
What kind of car you got, Angelo?
I've got a 2017 Collector's Edition Corvette.
Do you?
Number 118.
2017?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
How much? $300?
Yeah, a little bit more.
They give you the lug nuts.
Oh, my God, that's right. Corvettes have been special cars for such a long time.
Yeah. America's sports car.
Yeah. How about an electric vehicle? Have you bought your electric vehicle, Angelo?
No way am I ever going to buy an electric
vehicle. You wouldn't buy an electric Corvette?
No.
Okay.
They want like 100. for General Motors car. They want $155,000 for that E-Ray.
Oh, my goodness. Forget
it. They're crazy. If I want a golf cart, I'll go buy one.
So, Andrew, what kind of a car are you working on? Tell everybody.
I have a 96 Corvette Collector's Edition.
All right, look at that.
Problems with the power windows, and the whole car is torn apart inside right now trying to find the problem.
Oh, my goodness.
And we replaced every part. It's still not working.
Oh, that's got to drive you crazy. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I tell you, I should drive it through the White House walls and just be done with it.
Oh, God.
Hey, your Secret Service is going to be knocking on your door.
Yes,
today.
They will.
It's, at least I'll get some company. I don't get much these days.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so very much. I hope you both have great weekends. Look forward to talking with you next week.
You got it, buddy. Be good.
All right. Watch these college kids. They're trying to learn a lot, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I feel sorry for any of these college kids that are going to class. And the cost.
And this joker of a president wants to do away with their student loans. Go figure.
I know. That's another thing. Nothing like giving student loans to these guys wandering around and protesting. Anyway.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks again.
Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, the top 10 states with the most tornadoes the past 5 years.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are here from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen live, Big Ed sees to it. You can listen anytime your little heart desires. All you have to do is go to our website, which is OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And look at the podcast button at the top. Click on it. Ed's got all of our shows for your listening pleasure. He puts the most recent shows at the front. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. And you'll also see what the top 10 is. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Liz Peek. Liz Peek is a Fox Opinion commentator, and she has written a piece that I found to be very interesting. I wanted to read it to you, and it talks about the Biden White House and their pessimism about Biden being reelected in November, and what they are doing now to brace for something like that. She says it's not just atrocious polls that suggests Biden's going to lose. It's also the behavior of the White House. In the past few weeks, the administration has rolled out over a dozen new initiatives and rules, many like banning the development of the petroleum reserve in Alaska, which is likely to impact our country far into the future. She says it's a startling avalanche of executive activity. Here are some of the things, because of the polls that are showing an unpopular president and all of the things that seem to be going wrong in his administration. She says, hence, the whirlwind of regulations, which include the following. And listen to this. There's 12 of them I'm going to mention. The first one, new Federal Trade Commission rules that ban non-compete agreements in businesses. Two, a rewrite of Title IX. Number three, EEOC charges of racism against companies because they avoided hiring criminals. Number four, more federal help on student loans. We know all about that. Number five, the Federal Trade Commission and preventing the merger of two luxury goods makers. Number six, new overtime rules. Number seven, new regulations detailing airline refunds. We talked about that before as well. Number eight, new decisions restricting the drilling in Anwar. We've talked about that. And in Alaska's Petroleum Reserve. Number nine, the Federal Trade Commission blocking hospital group mergers, always wanting to get in there and screw up what people want to do in the free market. Number 10, new power plant emissions rules. Number 11, putting on hold a ban on menthol cigarettes. They were going to ban menthol cigarettes, but I think they got such a pushback on that, you know. Why would they get into that business, you know? But that's what they were thinking of. Number 12, a revamp of school lunch mandates, reducing sugar and salt. Really? The federal government should now be telling you how much sugar and salt should be in your lunch bucket when you go to school. So there you go. And she says, Liz Peek says, the Biden administration appears to be preparing for the worst, pushing through these policies that could be overturned if they were passed later in the year. So there you go. And before we get into our top 10, which I think is a pretty good one, I'm watching the Rays, or I'm not really watching the Rays, but I'm watching the scores of the Rays games. They're not. They're kind of struggling
they're
right
now. They're awful. They are awful. And, you know, after they lost, got swept by your Chicago White Sox last weekend, and they went on to Milwaukee to play the Brewers, and they lost two out of three there. And I think in the three-game series, they scored four runs.
Oh, no.
They're awful. I mean,
and the bats have gone silent, huh?
The bats have gone silent. The pitching stinks. You know, there's so many guys that are still recovering from Tommy John's. I'm sorry, but if I had a kid that was getting into the major leagues, I would tell him to stay the hell away from Tampa.
Yeah.
Because whatever they're doing, they're putting more pitchers in the doctor's
office. In harm's way.
On the operating table than anybody else. You think? And Kevin Cash, the manager, is known for coddling them by putting a pitch count on them and putting them in for two innings here and two innings there. And maybe that's what's doing it. I don't know. You know, the short rotation, not enough chance to warm up. Who knows?
Wow.
I don't know.
That's kind of sad. So they're like four or five games below 500 right now.
They are four games below. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed. I guess there's no news on the football front with the draft or anything. That's all over with.
The draft is over with. The Bucs did about as good as you can expect them to do.
What did they get out of the draft?
Their first pick was for an offensive lineman, actually the center. They wanted this guy that scraps here and there and likes to mix it up. They went some more offensive line. They went a little defense. They picked up a wide receiver and a running back. So nothing. I think it's shattering. So
all right,
Nick. I think
just keep our
first mini
crossed.
Camps coming up soon. So
yeah, Yeah.
You got a mini, mandatory mini, and then training camp.
Okay. All right, my friend. It is time for our top 10, and this comes from usafacts.org. It is the top 10 states that have the most tornadoes in the past 5 years. And I want to see if Ed can come up with what is the number one state that had the most tornadoes in the past 5 years. So he'll have to keep his ears sharp as we go down the list. So, Ed, here we go. If you're ready and you're over on the drums, the top 10 states with the most tornadoes the past 5 years. Number 10. Would you believe Florida? Florida is really? Number 10. Yeah, they had 50 tornadoes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Touchdown.
Those afternoon thunderstorms, yeah.
Yeah. We don't get a lot down here, but maybe more in the panhandle, do you think?
Well, we do.
We got some.
Last storm we had two or three warnings around here.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, number 9. Minnesota.
One hit Dunedin last year, too. Remember?
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
The Causeway. Dunedin Causeway area.
It wasn't a lot of damage, was it?
Sizable. It wrecked an apartment complex.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, number 9 is Minnesota. And they've had 58 tornadoes in the past 5 years. Number 8. Louisiana. Yeah, Louisiana. 59 twisters the past 5 years. Number 7. Now, this one I'm not surprised. Number 7 is Iowa. Mm-hmm. Midwest area.
Yep.
They had 63.
It was still not into the meat of the area that I'm thinking. But
okay, there you go. Number 6. Number 6 is Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Georgia. Tornado Alley in Georgia. 66 tornadoes. Number 5. Illinois, another Midwestern state. Lots of room for tornadoes there. They had 69 the past 5 years. Number 4. Now, this would have been a state I thought would be number 1. Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was my top 3.
Yeah, Oklahoma is considered a big twister state. Mm-hmm. Well, they had 74, ranking 4th. Number 3. And I can tell you from personal experience, I knew that this one would be there. Number 3 is Alabama. Has a real, there's a corridor there that goes along. They had 96 tornadoes in the past 5 years. Yeah. It's jumped from 74 in Oklahoma to 96 in Alabama. 96. Number 2, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not surprising. Look how big it is.
How do you
avoid Texas?
That's the start of the Tornado Alley, as they call it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that number one is going to be Kansas. And everything just forms there and just kind of rides up that stream. And everybody in there is always in jeopardy in that area.
All right. So Texas had 102.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Ed. I think you've already told me what you think number 1.
I think it's Kansas.
All right. You're going to be surprised, my friend.
Really?
Yeah. It's Mississippi. Yeah. Listen to this. Texas had 102. Mississippi, 117.
Wow.
107. And guess what? Kansas is not even in the top 10.
Wow.
I would have thought for sure. Mm. I mean, Dorothy Gale from The Wizard of Oz told us that they had a big twister in Kansas. But apparently in the past 5 years... not so much.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. Have a wonderful and a safe weekend. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, please remember, freedom works.